Od Yesh V'Yadin. Again, we're going back to what we said last time, but just because the ending piece of the Hakdama here is kind of one continual unit, we just want to put it all together in one context. Od Yesh V'Yadin Kabbalah Shel Emes. We have a tradition of Kabbalah from the Pnimius HaTorah, Ki Kol Torah Kula Shemos V'Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah are the names of Hashem. Shetevos Mischalkos L'Shemos Binyan Echad. It's all a series of names that have been divided up. Ki Ilu Tichshov Al Derech Mashal. For example, Ki Pasuk Bereishis Yischalek L'Sevos Acheros. We could potentially break up the words Bereishis Bar Elokim to Berosh Yisparei Elokim. If you just separate the letters in different places, you will find, says the Ramban, that the whole Torah is a series of names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is what the Torah is in its most esoteric, Kabbalistic essence. And we explained last time the idea that this is what the Malachim thought that they had in Shemayim, and that's why every letter of the Torah and every word of the Torah is significant, because it's not just a text that comes from Hashem, but it's actually the names of Hashem. So if you mess up a word in the Torah, then you're actually erasing and you're messing up the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol HaTorah Kein, the whole Torah is like this as well. Milvad, Seirufin, V'gematrio, Seyem, Shel Shemos. Aside from the fact that there are gematrias and there's different combinations of words, Kvar Kasav, Rabbeinu Shlomo, B'Perush, B'Talmud. Rashi writes in his Perush on the Gemara, and actually this is what we want to focus on in a moment. Inyan Hashem, Shel Gadol, Shel Ayin, Beiz, Beiz, Inyan Hu, B'Shlosh, Psukim, V'Yisa, V'Yo, V'Yet. Rashi wrote in his commentary in the Gemara Maseches Sukkah that there is a 72-letter name of Hashem that comes from three psukim that are linked together that begin with the words Vayisa, Vayavo, Vayet. And I want to explain to you exactly what's going on over here. So in the other paper I handed out from the Sukkos Machzor that you have there, okay? So Arshkel does a pretty good job of explaining what the Ramban is referring to, what this Rashi is. On Sukkot, we recite and we perform Hoshanas, right? We walk around the shul, we have an Esrog with the Torah in the middle, right? I didn't say anything new right now, we all know this, okay? And one of the lines that we repeat again and again in Hoshanas is, Ani v'ho Hoshiana, that me and whatever Vav Hei Vav means should be saved. Okay, what does that mean? So Rashi in Sukkah explains, we're going to read together Art Scroll's footnote in a second and the diagram they have on the bottom, but this is probably, as far as I know, one of the only times in all of Shas where Rashi tells us that he knows Kabbalah and he teaches an aspect of Kabbalah. It's there in Sukkah and Daf Mem Hei. I'm just going to read together what Art Scroll says. It's the piece on the bottom that says, that's bolded, Ani Baho Hoshiana. Everyone sees that in the left-hand column on the bottom of the footnotes in the Art Scroll Machzor? Yes? No? Okay. He says as follows. The Talmud states, every day of Sukkot, they would circle the altar one time saying, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, please Hashem bring salvation. Ana Hashem Aslichana, please Hashem bring success. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Rabbi Huda maintains, they also said the formula, Ani Vaho Hoshiana. Ani Vaho, whatever that means, should bring salvation. That's what the Gemara says there in Sukkah on Daf Mem Hei. So Rashi goes on to explain, what does that name mean, Ani Vaho Hoshiana? The obscure term, Ani Vaho, are identified by Rashi as two of a series of 72 names of God, each containing three letters. The complete series is composed of the letters which make up three consecutive psukim in Shmos Perek Yud Dalet. This is right before Az Yashir. Each containing 72 letters. Each contains 72 letters. In the mystical formula by which these names are formed, verses 19 and 21 are read in their proper order, while verse 20 is read backwards. Okay? This is what we call boustrophedonically. That's a very fancy word in English. Boustrophedonically means that you read one verse this way, and you read the other poem this way, and you go back and forth. Okay? So that's what's going on over here. And a table showing these groups of 72 letters is given below. Look at the table on the bottom. Everyone sees it's very, very tiny print, but you all have young eyes, so you can see this. So Art Scroll does the work for you. They count out in the teeny, teeny, tiny letters at the top of that box, 72, right? You see that it counts 1 to 72. That counts all the letters. And it lays out all the letters each pasuk happens to have, in those three pasukim in a row, happens to have 72 letters. So you'll see, the first pasuk says, Vayisa, gives the whole pasuk, and it's spelled in that order. And the second pasuk you'll see is being spelled out backward with Hebrew letters. So you go to the end of that box
what would be our left side. You see it says Vayavo in reverse, right? It's spelling the Pasuk backwards, back the other way. And then the third Pasuk that appears in the Torah, which is, you know, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, has in the right order, Vayet Moshe Yado Aleim, right? Moshe stretched out his hands and he split the sea. So those three psukim have 72 letters. The first pasuk is read in order. The second pasuk read is backwards. And the third pasuk is read in order. Now, if you line them up, says Rashi, if you line them up on top of each other, from top to bottom, you'll see that different words are spelled, right? If you take the first words of each of the three psukim, it says Vaho. And if you take the 37th letter of each of those words in order, it says Ani. Right, article bolds it. You see what we're talking about? Article bolds the first and the 37th letter. So Rashi says all of these read in different orders create different Shemos of Hashem. And that's what the Ramban is hinting to. That the whole Torah is Shmos of Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can rearrange, mix, match, and create different names of Hashem. Is that Rashi somewhat clear to us? No, do you appreciate what the Ramban is trying to tell us here? That the whole Torah, depending on how you view it, contains the names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, he says as follows. He says, "V'haya efshar b'kriyos shezikra al derech hashemos." You can. One second. Where am I? Right. Oh, fine. I lost my voice. Here we go. He. So he quoted Rashi. And he says, "Inyan shel shem agadol ayin beis eze inyan hu shvelosho shpesukim yisavayo vaveit beis eze sefer Torah shetaba boosachad b'malaya b'chaser puzzle." That's why says the Ramban, any Torah that's missing one letter is puzzle. Why? Because you've ruined the names of Hashem. Kizeh inyan v'chayi v'osam l'psol sefer Torah shechaser bo vav echad b'blos osam. Even if you write the word osam, and osam can be spelled without a vav and still be read osam because there's a cholam over the Aleph, right? Still, the Torah is puzzle. Shabo mehe lamet tes melem b'Torah. O shiyichtov havav ve'echad mishar chaserim. Or you add above where it's not supposed to be. V'chen kiyotze b'zeh. Af api she'enu ma'ala v'lo mori k'pi o'le b'machshav. Even though seemingly in your mind, what's the difference? It says the same word. Who cares? Says the Ramban. No. A safer Torah and the Torah we learn are the names of Hashem. And if you alter it in any way, you are playing with mystical dynamite. You are messing up with what's going on in the upper realms, and you have to be so, so careful that every letter of the Torah is important and it's treated that way. This is where we left off last time. This is the principle that caused Talmidei Chachamim to count every single chaser and mali, every single Torah that we know for sure. Ulechaber svarim b'mesoris al Ezra hasofer hanavi shishadal b'zeh, and to compose books of Mesorah going far back to Ezra hasofer at that time. It's interesting that he calls Ezra a Navi. Usually we don't refer to Ezra as a Navi, but the Ramban does. But we see here that Ezra is a Navi. The Gemara says that Malachi was also Ezra. So it makes sense that Ezra and Malachi are both Nevi'im, and Ezra would also be a Navi as well. Kamosha darshu b'pasik v'yikru b'sefer Torah selokim b'forash v'som seichel v'yavinu b'mikra. And they read from the Torah, they interpreted, and they gave it meaning, and they understood its psukim. V'nira shahatorah aksuva b'eish shachorah gabi eish levana b'inyan hazeh shizkarnu hayad. This is the Torah written with black letters on white fire. And it was written in this form initially without any breaking up of the words. Let me just go back to explain the idea of Mesorah and what he's talking about. We are very, very careful to make sure that every single Torah that's written is the exact same way. In the days of the Gaonim, there were two families who recorded traditions about the Mesorah. One was known as the family of Ben Asher, and the other was known as the family of Ben Naphtali. And they had traditions about which word is with a vav, which word is out of vav, is a ksiv, a kri, how are the partios breaking up the Torah, where there are gaps when you write a sefer Torah, when does the next section begin, which letters are big, which letters are small, like the small aleph vayikra, right? Or in last week's parsha, the vav of the word gachon is spelled bigger, whatever it may be. All of those things, every single word that goes into the Torah, they would count and keep records of. They kept track of how many psukim in every single parsha, how many words in every single parsha, how many letters in the Torah. They documented everything. Why? Because the Torah is the most critical thing that we have. And we need to make sure it gets passed on correctly to every single other generation. Now, there were small differences between each family. At the end of the day, the poskim settled on the family of Ben Asher. That's the Mesorah that we follow. But you'll see it every week. At the end of the Chumash, after you hear the Torah in Shul, what does it say after every Parsha? What does it have in small letters?
Anybody know? No? We have read Chumash before in Shul? No? At the end of every single Parsha, it'll say Simon, a sign for the Parsha, and it will have a word or a name from Tanakh that's the same gematria as the Pesukim in that week's Parsha. No one has seen this before. At all. Ever. What? Perhaps. Yeah, I think I did. But no one's seen this before? Are we not reading the Chumash and Shul on Shabbos? No? Okay. The what? Pay attention to Shabbos and Shul. Look at the end of this week's Parsha, Parsha's Tazria. By the way, I think the Haftorah this week has not been read in like 21 years. Because the way it falls out, usually Tazria and Matzor is together, and when Tazria is by itself, usually it's one of the four special Parshios. So it's a very rare Haftorah. But again, not our point. The point being that, look at that, you'll see there's a gematria. Why do they have these gematrias there? Who cares? The answer is because it's part of the collection called the Mesorah, recording every single aspect of the Torah to make sure that the Torah is preserved for the next generation. And that's what he's talking about, that these Bali Mesorah, these people, would keep track and record all these things to make sure that the Torah that's in your Aron Kodesh is in the same Torah that's in your Aron Kodesh, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then he says, this is the Torah written in the black letters on the back, white round of white fire. We mention that the writing was continuous without breaking of any single words. And that's going to begin the discussion, like we said a few weeks ago, about the Dima or Vedima. How was the last eight psukim written if it all came from Moshe Rabbeinu? And then he says, it made it possible to read the Torah with its divine names. But it could also be read in our normal way as reading it as well. It was given to Moshe as Torah and mitzvahs, practical things for us to learn. And we should also need to read not just in its esoteric deeper meaning, but also its simple meaning of knowing how to practice the mitzvos. And this was handed over, how to read these names as well, Kabbalistically. And therefore, these people of Kabbalah know how to read this name of 72 letters that is running together. And they're able to divide into these three-letter patterns that we showed you as four before in the Machzor, l'chilukim acherim, and other meanings, k'fi hashimush l'bali Kabbalah, as is the practice of experts of Kabbalah. So again, these 17 names we saw before. So I want to point out that what we see over here as well is from this Rashi in Shmos, and this Rashi in Sukkah about the names of Hashem, we see that not only is the order of how we read the names of Hashem just in the way we read the Torah from left to right, but top to bottom, up and down, we see that when the letters are put together in certain blocks, the names have combinations in other forms as well. That may give somebody the idea. Has anybody heard of the Torah codes before? Or they stopped teaching that, right? Do you ever do an Aish Discovery seminar? Right? They do the Torah codes? Yeah? So this idea of the Torah codes is based on this concept, because the Torah is not just read in this one direction, but according to Rashi and Ramban, it goes in multiple directions. That doesn't mean I think Torah codes are real. I'm just saying that this is the basis of it. Torah codes have a lot of shady mathematics going on with them, and I wouldn't base my emunah on those things. But nevertheless, the basis of the concept of arranging letters and spelling things out, you know, is found here in the Ramban and Rashi as well. Good? Should we continue? Amazing. V'ata dore, now come and see. Ma ashiv sholei davar b'ksivas perish haTorah. People are going to ask me, why am I writing a perish on the Torah? It's so lofty, it's so big, it's so complicated, it's so deep. What a chutzpah to write a perish on the Torah. Who am I to do such a thing? Aval esnaheg b'minag rishonim lahaniach das talmidim yigei galus v'tzaros. I'm doing it for the students, that people should learn. People are tired from this galos. People are afflicted. Hakorim b'seder b'shabbos esamodim. They're reading the weekly parsha and preparing for the festivals. It could be the Ramban is implying over here that there's a mitzvah to read the parshas of the Yom Tovim as well, and to prepare those as well. V'lim shoch libam b'pshatim b'ksas devarim ni'im l'shomim yodim chen.
And to attract them, people should know a little Chumash. They should have, you know, a pleasant experience to understand it. L'yinim l'shomim, people who just listen, simple listeners. U'liyodim chein. And also, I'm writing this parish not just for simple people to understand the Chumash, but also those who know chein. Okay? Chein is a code word, is a key word for Kabbalah. Chein stands for Chachmas Nisteres, hidden wisdom. So he says the Ramban, I'm writing my parish in the Torah for those who want to have a simple understanding of the Torah and appreciate the text of the Torah, but I'm also writing my parish in the Torah for those who know Kabbalah and deeper esoteric ideas who want to connect to something much more profound. And Hashem should be gracious to me and find grace in the higher intelligence in the eyes of the Lord. And man, Hashem should bless me in what I'm trying to do. Now, you would see that like an ending like that seems like, you know, ends of the book, right? Quotes of Pasuk, you know, Abiyas Goel, Mashiach, Nevim Amen, right? That's the end of the Pasuk. That's the end. Now, the next thing that's here, according to experts in the Ramban, is not in the original version of the Ramban. The Ramban, as we know, had to flee Spain after the debates with Pablo Cristiani. And remember, you watched that video in like 11th grade. That was not so good. So he had to flee Spain, and he had to go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban would re-edit his parish on the Torah, and he would send corrections to his son to fix in Europe. The most famous place where the Ramban does that is in the description of where Beis Lechem is. Because when he describes where Rivka was buried by the side of the road when she died and she wasn't buried in Maaseh Machpelah, and the Ramban realizes when he gets to Eretz Yisrael that what he said the first time in describing where Beis Lechem was 100% wrong. And he changed his parish when he saw Beis Lechem with his own eyes. And he had to re-examine that parsha of the death of Rivka and Yosef and Yaakov apologizing to Yosef for burying his wife on the side of the road and not in Maaseh Machpelah. So that's one place. But another place that we know for sure is right here. This is considered an addition that was added by the Ramban after he came to Eretz Yisrael. How are you supposed to know which is which? So in new editions of the Ramban, not Rabbi Shavel in the classic, you know, green edition over here, Rabbi Shavel did not know this. So he doesn't distinguish. In new editions of the Ramban, they do. But if you ever use Al HaTorah, which is an amazing, amazing resource. So Al HaTorah, they mark for you if this is a later Ramban or an earlier Ramban. They'll tell you which one was put in. Okay, so what did he add? Okay, what did he add? And we'll see, maybe something happened that led him to have to write this additional point. Vani neni mevi beris ne'aman. I'm bringing a faithful covenant. V'hi anosenes eitzo genes l'chol mistakov sefer zeh. And I want to advise anyone who's going to read my commentary on the Torah. He says, Leval yispor svara v'al yachshov machshavos v'dar v'mikol romezim asher ani kosev b'sisrei Torah. Don't make any reasonings. Don't come up with any thoughts on your own of any of the mystical hints which I'm going to write here. And he's telling you outright, I'm writing a lot of Kabbalah in different places. Rav Chaim Vital writes in his introduction that the Ramban's sefer is emes v'yatsa v'nachon v'kaim l'misha v'enu. It's emes for a person who can understand it. And the Arizal said that the bir haRamban she'asal haTorah hu amak mod. It's very deep. V'enu mishiyachal avinu. Most people can't even understand it. Shedvarav sesumen ad ma'od v'sefer yakar nechman ma'od levinim oso. And it's very valuable to those who understand it. Now, I'm not going to say which gadol I heard this from, because I can't confirm that they actually said it, but many people point out that the difficulty with the Ramban al Torah is that we think that we know this is the Kabbalistic part. He says, I'm about to say it's al derech ha-emes. This is a sign that we're about to say something Kabbalistic, and the rest of the thing is simple. But the many gadolim say that the difficulty of the Ramban is we don't even know what we think is the revealed. And the obvious parts of the Ramban's commentary is also deep and Kabbalistic. The whole thing is filled with Kabbalah. We might understand it on one level, but we also have to understand that every word of the Ramban's commentary might have a deeper level of understanding and something that's more esoteric. You have to be careful as well. And make sure not to... The Ramban is saying, don't come up with chidushim
in Kabbalistic ideas. Just understand the simple text of what I'm trying to tell you. Because you're not going to understand the words, my reader, and try to take any reasoning or contemplation, except from the mouth of a wise Kabbalist, and to the ear of someone who is understanding and receives it. And the person should not delude himself into thinking you can understand these Kabbalistic ideas. Only someone who really knows Kabbalah can really, really appreciate what he's saying over here. Vasvar behen ivelas, and to try to make reasonings and try to make your own ideas is foolish. Machshav moelas, and it's going to not help your thoughts. Rabbas nezika menos toelas, it's going to cause damaging issues as well. That was a rhyme there in the Ramban. Al ya'amein b'shav nisena, and don't trust in your vanity and deceive yourself. It goes to Pasuk and Eo, Kilo Sivuev Svaraso Rak Ra. If you try to come up with your own ideas of Kabbalah and try to take things where they're not supposed to go, it's going to be problematic. And the Ramban is writing against people who are getting involved in Pnimis HaTorah and ideas of Chassidus and Kabbalah that are beyond them. Don't learn things in Torah that are dealing with Kabbalistic ideas that if it's not for you. Don't try to punch above your weight if you're not holding on that level up. Read basic texts, simple understandings to get the foundations of the Torah. Ki dabru Hashem el Hashem sarah asher lo yuchu kapara shenamar adam to miderach haseichel bekar refaim yanuach. He goes to pasuk in Mishlei as well. Va'al yarasu Hashem laharos. Hashem shouldn't break through into the eternal gaze. Ki Hashem elokeinu eish ochla hu kelkanos. Hashem is a fire. Don't touch parts of the Torah that you're not supposed to be involved in. V'hu yeres rusuyav mitorasa neflos, and he'll show those who are pleasing to him the ones of the Torah. Let's just finish with his last paragraph over here. He says, aval yachzu b'ferushenu chidushim b'pshatim b'midrashim. Look in our commentary for chidushim, new ideas of the psukim, pshatim, simple understandings, understanding of midrashim, v'yichu musr mipiro b'seinu kadoshim, and take the musr of our holy rabbis, as it says in the medrash, begadol mimcha al tidrosh, that which is more than you, don't seek, b'chazak mimcha b'al tachkor, that which is strong with you, don't inquire, b'mufl mimcha b'al teda, that which is beyond you, don't try to know, b'mechus mimcha b'al yitzashah, that which is covered, don't ask, b'masha rishis yisponein. Think about the things that you can know and relate to, and you have no business dealing with deep secrets aspects of the Torah.